But
yes.
Could you start us off by giving us a sort of position statement, an update as to where we are and what we need to do next, please?
Yes. to start with, whether or not country names, both in ASCII or non-ASCII, should be included in this PDP. Say that, and I think the conclusion of the meeting in Brussels was that we should stick to the definition used in RFC 5890, which effectively means that Latin script is included, or at least a country names with a non-Latin character, and country names as such are not in a part of this PDP. We also agreed that Chris and I would produce a note for this group and the broader community on how to deal with country names as such, because it is very clear this is an issue also in the context of the new GTLD process. So that's where we are, or that's where we left off in Brussels. Starting again is Chris and I thought about is how to approach the PDP best, because it's, if you look at the chair's interim draft, the criteria and requirements are mingled with processes. So we thought it would be best to first discuss criteria and requirements and then focus on the necessary processes to be put in place. So the document you received yesterday, and apologies for the late for late sending, is structured along that line. So first discuss criteria and requirements for the selection of IDN CCTLDs, and then, in the next phase, go into processes and issues like and topics like variant management and maybe some other associated topics. So the first question is whether the working group members on the call agree with this approach. Any comments, questions?
So, Bart, it's Chris. Let me just see if I can just put it very simply for everybody.
Yeah.
The purpose of the document, which is currently called Decision Points IDN CCPDP, is to set out the things that we've already agreed, hopefully, and then to go through step by step the things that we need to decide in an order that it helps us to reach the to reach the decisions. And those decisions basically cover all of the areas that we covered in the fast track. Plus, there may be some other areas that we need to cover that weren't covered in the fast track. But fundamentally, the document says, all right, this is what we think we've agreed. Now let's go through it step by step and say, you know, should it be limited to only one? Should it be official language? Should it be et cetera, et cetera? So that's the purpose of the document. It's not intended to actually set out decisions, but simply to guide us on our work. And the other document, the timeline schedule, hopefully will allow us to, as you can see, reach a some sort of conclusion by the time we get to Cartagena. So is there any comment or discussion on any of that? Excellent. So on that basis, Bart, what would you like to do for the rest of this call?
I think the first step is just to make sure that we all agree on the overarching principles. There was one email from Manal, and with a response from Patrick on the IDN CCTLD strings should be non-contentious within the territory.
Right.
I don't know. Manal, are you on the call?
Yes, I'm on the phone now, but I really can't hear you so clearly. I can't recognize what has been said. Can you hear me?
Yes, Manal, we can hear you. You haven't missed anything other than an introduction. What we're trying to do is to look at the document called Decision Points, and for this call, look at Section 2, which is the overarching principles.
I'm sorry, Chris, is this you?
Yeah. Can you not hear?
I can't. No, I cannot hear you. I'm not sure what's wrong.
Okay. Can anyone else hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, Christina, could you see if you could get Manal on a better line or something?
I'll ask if there's something I can do.
Yeah. Okay, while we're waiting for that to happen, yes? Was that you, Manal? Obviously not. Okay.
I'll try to hang up and maybe send another phone number.
No, hold on, Manal. Christina's going to talk to the operator.
They can try to redial her again, but it's probably... Manal, are you on a cell phone? Okay, anyway, we'll try to redial her.
Manal, can you hang up so they can redial you?
I think that they will disconnect her.
Okay, fine. So while that is all happening, but the first of the overarching principles that we have here is the association of the RDN country code with the territory. I think that's pretty non-controversial, and unless anybody has any problems with it, I'm fairly sure we can say that we've agreed that one. The second one is simply a statement that says that IDN CCTLDs and ASCII CCTLDs should be treated the same way. And again, I think that's probably fine. The only one that appears to have raised anything at all, as you said, Bart, is a comment from Manal about the string being non-contentious within the territory. And I'm not entirely clear what her point was. Does anybody actually... Patrick, do you understand what Manal was trying to say?
Yes. So what her point was that there is a question of how ICANN is determining whether it is non-contentious or not. And what she's nervous about is that there might be a very small minority of nutheads in the country, excuse me the language, but I think this is what she said, that is objecting to the process in the country. And when the government, together with the by far big majority of the internet community, say that this is a string we should have, you have a minority that sends a letter to ICANN saying, no, we want to have this other string.
Yeah.
And the question is, and by doing that, it might delay the delegation of the first string infinitely.
Right. And you responded to that, didn't you?
Yes, I responded and said that, first of all, my view is that we need to trust ICANN being able to do the judgment here, because rough consensus should be enough. Even if it is the case that one person or one small organization objects, I think ICANN should be able to make that determination. The other thing that I said in my note is that compared to when John Postel was working with these kind of things, maybe it is the case that that ICANN also, apart from in the determination they are doing, that they should listen more to the government than to other minorities.
Yeah.
But I don't really know how to phrase that. But ultimately, it non-contentious to me. This is my proposal. Does not imply complete consensus. It should be up to ICANN to make a decision that there is enough consensus.
Which is precisely where I was heading by saying, you know, we can...
Ask a question.
Sorry, who's that?
This is Avery. Can I ask a question?
Yes, Avery.
Before you conclude, I can wait until you're done, though.
No, you carry on, Avery.
Okay. I guess this makes me slightly uncomfortable. If all governments were perfect and no minority was ever trodden upon, I would think that would be great. I think that, yes, trusting ICANN is the only solution, but I do believe there have to be guidelines given to ICANN of when it is appropriate to trust in the government and trust in a majority, and when perhaps they should look a little further and make sure that there's nothing in the name that is harmful to the minority, that there is no, you know, pressure of power on minorities and acts of repression or suppression involved in creating this lack of problem. And so I don't think it can be clearly, oh, well, the government says it's not contentious, therefore it is. I think that, you know, as a minimum standard, it was put in that the community, the internet community of the country, the provider and the government were all in agreement is what was, you know, I thought the minimum that one could accept in terms of contentious, and people know that I argued against that as a minimum perhaps, but as being a sufficient minimum, but certainly to go beyond that and sort of say the government and the people who are going to run the thing are sufficient, notwithstanding problems in the community, I think becomes a problem. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Avery. I think a couple of things. One, I think that it certainly should be possible, talking on the sort of pro-government side for a moment, it certainly should be possible to add a bit of meat to this particular principle and say that, as Patrick has said, that non-contentious does not mean 100% support, but rather means that ICANN is able to make a reasoned decision that there is certainly, you know, consensus. And I'm making that up, and it needs work, and I understand that. To go back to take the other side of the coin, Avery, which is your side, I agree that there is a challenge, though, of course, which becomes intensely political, and it's really quite hard. I mean, I can think of some examples where, not real examples, but some, you know, some things that could happen where you would actually say maybe, in fact, it isn't the right thing to do to delegate. But I suppose the argument would be, and it's the argument on both sides, isn't it, that it's up to you to sort it out in the territory, and if you can block it by getting some sort of an injunction, then you block it. I know that's not a satisfactory answer. I'm just trying to...
Yeah, this is Patrick again. I agree with what Avery said, but I think it's important that let's say, a minority that in this case, maybe a minority should neither be able to get something delegated without having local consensus, but I also think that kind of minority should also not be able to prohibit delegation if it is the case that there is sort of rough consensus, let's say, like Avery said, the internet community and the government or something.
Yes.
So it could be, so I agree, so I think I'm on your side, Chris, that it might be in both ways. It might be bad to delegate, it might be bad not to delegate. And to some degree, we need to be able to, and I don't want ICANN to be part of the local decision-making process. That was my point. There's a risk that ICANN is used as a tool for a local dispute, that is, dispute process that for some weird reason is not resolved locally.
Yes.
This is Bart.
Yes, Bart.
May I suggest that, going back, say, because this was part of the fast-track process as well, and say the direction we're heading is more in procedural and process safeguards, and that we readdress this point when we hit the processes.
Yes, I accept that. I mean, we if you accept there's a principle it should be non-contentious, the question is then how do you, what do you say non-contentious actually means is a matter for the process. But I think it's certainly something that we need to flag, because I can see that some governments would be concerned, and I can equally see that some community organisations might be concerned.
What I'll do and say, and that was part of the first part of say this this conversation, say in the next version I will make a note at this stage, at this principle, that this needs to be further discussed as part of the process procedure step.
Okay, that's fine.
So we don't forget, and then you see how the mechanism works, how to move forward as well.
Excellent.
This is Avery again. And
yes, Avery.
Sorry. Is it possible, though, to, and I'm not trying to move beyond non-contentious within its borders, though sometimes perhaps, you know, some sort of help in finding that point may be necessary. But basically indicated that it has to be non-contentious without repressing any minority. And I guess that's the concern that I have, you know, and one can certainly not look at the collection of word governments and say that doesn't happen.
I think that's it. And whilst I agree with your sentiment, I think that may be a bit of a stretch. Every time you say something like that, or if we were to say something like that, the pushback would be, well, what do you mean? How do you define that? You know, I mean, if you're saying...
Well, aren't there international instruments that help make those determinations whether things like that are happening?
Well, a lot of those, yes, but a lot of those international instruments are self-governing, aren't they? I mean, China's claim to abide by the International Treaty on Human Rights or whatever it is, for example, it becomes a self-governing exercise. If you're asking ICANN to make a decision to say that this is a case where we think there is repression, then that's quite a hard one, I would have thought.
No,
I'm just kind of, you know, I'm not saying we shouldn't discuss it or consider it further.
I'm not trying to take it, believe me, to ICANN deciding. And in fact, we've seen, you know, those of us that just came out of you know, great and wonderful MAPO discussions, that there are other ways of finding a verification point that is not ICANN, that is perhaps not solely, that finds a way of using some international instrument to determine, and if there is an internal protest that manages to get out, you know, Horton is actually heard, is there some way, and I don't say I have the solution at the moment, but is it possible to just put a note that there should be some investigation of A, guidance, and B, perhaps the use of international instruments to determine in extreme cases whether the internal consensus is indeed a free and open consensus?
I have, in principle, I have no problem with that. What I'm struggling with is whether how such a circumstance could exist if, and I stress if, we end up with a narrow band of what an IDNCC-TLD can be. Now, if we end up with a wide band of what an IDNCC-TLD can be, then I completely accept what you say is possible. But if we end up with a narrow band, you know, official language, meaningful representation, etc., then I would suggest that is extremely hard to have happen. However, that's, I think, why Bart's saying, why don't we push that forward with a note to the process discussion once we've actually discussed the principles? Because until we know what the principles are, in the sense of how many, the basis for application and so on, it's hard to know whether it's of importance or.
Oh yeah, I was just asking for something to be added to the note.
Sure. Okay.
I wasn't asking that we discuss it now or figure it out.
Okay.
But just something added to the note that says there's this extra element that
should
also be dealt with.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. This is Patrick. I think there is another thing that might be important as well. and I don't know how often that happens nowadays, but I can also envision, to continue on what Avery was saying, that there are certain redelegation and changes for the CCTLD or IDN CCTLD for a territory which the government or whoever is responsible for the territory don't want to say anything about.
Yes.
I think, yeah, we had a small, it was almost an incident with the island of Åland, AX, when they got their CCTLD. It ended up being a little bit problematic when ICANN asked the government of Finland what they thought.
Yes.
So minority might also be that the government don't want to say anything, and I think it's important that the text is written in such a way so it is possible for ICANN to approve the delegation as long as the government doesn't object, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
So there are many variants of this minority, as long as there is sort of consensus or whatever kind of wording is needed, where doing a delegation is actually okay. And I think what Manal was nervous about was that the government, together with the vast majority of the internet community, wanted to do a delegation. She was nervous that someone would be able to block that.
Yeah.
That was the specific situation that she was nervous about. And I don't really understand what kind of specific situation you talked about, Avery, but it felt like you asked for something a little bit more general than that specific thing Manal was talking about.
All right. Well, look, we've all agreed that we need to put a note in to say that we need to talk about this when we get to process. So if we're all comfortable that we've covered everything off, then Bart, you can do that, and we can move on. All right.
Okay.
Can I ask, is there anyone on the call who wants to raise any issues on any other of the current
principles,
overarching principles in the document? Okay, good. So that then takes us on to section 3, which is the stuff that we think we've already agreed. And the first one of those is that that the IDN country code top level domain must contain at least one non-ASCII character in accordance with the definition in RFC 5890. Does anyone have any discussion on that one, or can we take that one as being agreed? Good, excellent. Patrick, do you think that's simple enough and not being not too complicated, and because it refers to 5890 is satisfactory from for your purposes?
Yes.
Good. All right. B is, again, only if the name of the territory is listed on the list. I think we can pretty much get past that one because I think we all know that. And that, Bart, takes us to looking at the actual new things that we need to talk about.
Okay, and the first one on that list is the IDN CCTLD, a meaningful representation of the name of a territory. I think the basic question is whether, because this was used in the fast track, whether we should use this criteria as well for the overall policy.
Okay. I'm wary of these things need to be talked about on the list as well as obviously on a phone call, Bart.
Yeah.
Because there are a number of people who are not on the call. But is there anybody on the call who wants to raise a point that suggests that it shouldn't just be a meaningful representation, that effectively a territory can choose anything? Good. That's excellent. Because I think, obviously, one of the keys to this is to try and for us to all be clear about what the character of a CCTLD is and to try to maintain that. And certainly from my personal point of view, the character of a CCTLD is that it either is or becomes representative of the community, of the territory. So, Bart, currently we're saying the name, part of the name, or the short form designation. That doesn't necessarily, I mean, that's quite narrow for meaningful, isn't it? I mean, I could argue, couldn't I, that Aussie is meaningful in respect to the meaningful representation of Australia.
Yes, but if you do it that way, is I think, in, especially a short form designating, is already pretty difficult, and I think, say, looking at the experience from the fast track, it is a workable solution, I would say.
Yes. I think we also need to guard against the possibility, and I don't know whether we can guard against the possibility, but we need to try, I think, to guard against the possibility that some territories might try to claim that something is a meaningful representation of their territory in a script, that in fact is effectively generic and will end up being managed as a generic.
Yes, but again, say that is.
I mean, at the moment it's fluke, right? At the moment it's pure fluke. Montenegro gets .me, Serbia gets .rs. So Montenegro can go out and make, hopefully for them, make heaps of money by marketing it as .me, and Serbia can't. When you introduce choice into the equation, it's possible, isn't it, that we might end up with a circumstance where that choice is made specifically for commercial purposes?
Yes, that's a risk you run. On the other hand,
I'm not suggesting if it is the name of the territory, or if it is part of the name of the territory that denotes the territory, or it is the short form designation, and it just happens to be useful commercially, I don't have a problem. I just want to make sure that we've guarded against, you know, people being able to come along and say, well, I've decided that these three letters taken at random from our name, or five letters taken at random from our name, are going to be our IDN, you know, CCTLD. And our current definition does guard against that, I think, doesn't it?
I think it does. Specifically, if you look at it, say again, but that's not included in the process that, and that's something to discuss whether or not this should be endorsed by a third-party, internationally recognized expert.
What's the current situation with the fast track?
The current situation with the fast track is it needs, so this is the criteria, and if it's not on a list, either the UNGEGN list or the ISO list, one way or the other, it's there needs to be a accompanying letter from an internationally recognized expert, and there is a whole mechanism in place to assist countries to produce such a letter.
Right, and we're going to consider that when we come to process, presumably.
Yeah.
And
it's already part of decision three is already is looking into that.
Okay. Anyone else got any comments?
Maybe, Chris, to pick up on your point about saying we need discussion on the list, and I think the practice we have developed in another working group is say that at one call we do not make any final decisions is a very good practice. So we revisit this, say, in over the next call as a point discussed on the previous call and up for agreement.
Fine. All right. So if there's no further comment on that, then that brings us to the second decision, which is the official language of the territory. Now, this is where it gets, this is where it becomes fundamental. Should Australia be allowed to, because Australia has a huge business with China, China is its largest partner, export partner, should Australia be allowed to have .Australia or whatever in Chinese, even though Chinese is not an official language in Australia? Or should CCTLDs, IDN CCTLDs, be limited to solely in the case where a language is official, bearing in mind that there is in the process for the fast track and presumably would be for the full-blown policy a process of saying just because the language isn't mentioned in the Constitution, it is an official language because it's used for administrative purposes and here's a letter that says that. So, comment on that?
This is Aubrey. Can I make one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you have an interesting issue. I think that if something is used for purely commercial purposes, external to the country, I think it's reasonable to say that Australia has a right to have it and perhaps is the only one with a right to have it, but does it need to be a CCPLD? But where you can get with your border is if you can produce such a letter to say that it is used instrumentally, for example, you know, just like California has 23 languages that it uses in its driver's license information and other state information, you can make a claim that there is an administrative use. So that border is fuzzy and hard to define, but I think it may be worth trying to find that border.
Yeah.
And sort of say, you know, of course a country has a right to have a name it uses for Australian business or, you know, whatever. But is that, properly speaking, a CCPLD, or is it indeed a commercial enterprise that perhaps needs to be administered under a different set of rules?
Thank you, Avery. Interesting point. I've got a couple of things to say about that, but anyone else before I do?
Yeah, this is Patrick. I think we need to allow for a country to request we need to allow for a territory to request the IDN CCTLDs for in other countries than the ones that are official. And for example, I'm looking at there was an election in Sweden Sunday, and I'm looking at the website for the Swedish election, which is the simple val.se, and you can have looked at yourself, that they have information on the actual election in, I think, like 15 languages or something, or 20, even though we only have 7 official languages or minority languages in Sweden plus Swedish. So, but the question is then, how do you say stop? And how do you judge whether these languages are official or not? I don't know.
Well, yes, I think that's right. So let's take a step back for a second. The purpose of... We need to remember two things. We need to remember the purpose of the CCTLD and the purpose of the IDN CCTLD. The purpose of the IDN CCTLDs, the reason why people want them, is because there are people, members of the population in certain countries, either being the whole of the population or a substantial proportion of the population, for whom ASCII, and for ASCII, let's just accept that we mean the 26 letters of the alphabet, blah, blah, isn't workable. Now, if what we're going to say is, look, every country could choose to have its name in any script or any language defined by our thing as an IDN, as long as it's got a non-alphabet letter in it, then that's fine. But is that a CCTLD? I would argue that CCTLDs need to be fewer and authoritative, and Avery's point about being is for commercial reasons. The purpose of having .Australia in Chinese would not be, in my view, to support the Chinese linguistic community in Australia. It would be to enhance Australia's business relationship with China. And that's not, surely, a CCTLD. The purpose of sheeting it home to official languages was precisely that they are internal to the country, they are used by the country, and they are designated as being official. Not only that, but there's an additional layer on the top, which is that we're agreed that we are talking about IDNs here. We're talking about a CCTLD in with at least one non-ASCII character. And I think that we need to be very careful about how far we go with this, because I would argue that the discussion about whether Australia could have .Australia in Chinese is no different to the discussion about whether Australia could have .Australia as a CCTLD, because that's what it would prefer to .au. And that is, I think, a different discussion. Anyone else?
This is Barry. Okay,
yes,
going back to Patrick about the election, I think if you look at the way it is currently phrased, what is an administrative language, one could argue, say, the mechanism used, for instance, in Sweden, allows, if not all, but some of these languages to be called administrative language. So there is the possibility. So it just doesn't need to be listed as such. There is also, say, the possibility to include languages which are not, anyway, listed in either the ISO list or the UNGGGN manual.
Yeah, but that causes a, if you take the Swedish example, you've got to be very careful, because you end up with a massively unlevel playing field. Because what you end up with is a circumstance where, how many was it, did you say, Patrick, 12 or 15 languages?
15.
Yeah,
you end up with a circumstance where only some of those languages would be entitled to have an IDN CCTLD.
Yeah, but isn't that at the end of the day, isn't that an internal issue in the country which we cannot resolve?
Yes, it is an internal issue in the country which we can't resolve. I'm suggesting that I favour going slowly and opening the gates a little bit rather than opening the gates incredibly widely. Because my intuition tells me that in 3 or 4 years' time we're all going to be sitting down discussing what is, you know, CCTLDs generally.
Mm-hmm.
And that to set a precedent by effectively allowing countries to increase their stable of CCTLDs in IDNs is dangerous, I think.
No,
I think it should be to fill a need, and if there isn't a need, if it's just for the sake of it, then it, you know, it's nonsense.
No, but if you look at, Chris, I agree, but if you look at, say, if a relevant public authority in the territory confirms that the language is used in official communications, this already allows for more than just the listed and or maybe even the languages referred to in national law.
Sure, I understand that.
Yeah.
But that's...
Yeah, this is Patrick again. Let me give a little more precise example. I agree with you, Chris, that the intention is not that a country should get its CCTLD on all languages that are in use. I was saying that I agree with Bart there, which says that it should be possible for a country to ask for a CCTLD in the languages which a majority or where the internet community together with the government or whatever wording we have feel that there is actually a need.
Yeah.
So that is I agree with you there, Chris. My point was that in Sweden, a minority language can become a minority language if it is the case that they are looking at the use of the language in Sweden the last 100 years. And we have this discussion that is going to be upcoming around the Arabic languages or the Arabic script. Because we only talk about 3 more years and something in the Arabic script, either it's Farsi or Arabic, will become one of those official languages in Sweden.
Right.
So already today, from a Swedish government perspective, it would be the case that, yes, Arabic, just because it's so different from the scripts that we're using in Sweden, getting Sweden in Arabic, right to left, is actually something that would make sense already today, even though it's not an official minority language, because if you look at the daily use in Sweden, Arabic is actually pretty darn big already today. That was my point.
And I don't agree with that.
It would be wise for ICANN to say no if that comes in, that application comes in.
I'd actually like to make a distinction. I think that in 3 years, Sweden would be able to make an argument that, yes, this is an administratively supported language. I think that Sweden and probably many other countries have their line rules on ways of indicating. So I agree that it has to be an internal determination. It sounds like Sweden has a set of definite rules that define when it's the case and when it's not. So, you know, I would think that we would look for some kind of way of limiting it, sort of say, if the government can show that, yes, this is a minority language in the country, however they want to put it, because of the following situation, and they can show internal proof that that is the case, then you have it. I think in a Swedish case, you would have to say that at the moment, the Arabic script is not, but in 3 years would be, because you do have a defining line.
I think that's right, Avery. I think the current situation is that what we're saying is it must be an official language. We're saying that that is defined in a particular way, and one of the ways of saying that is for the government to write and say, and let's just take Arabic in Sweden. Arabic in Sweden is an official language because it is used for administrative purposes. Now, if there is in my view, a significant difference between the Australian government writing a letter that says Chinese is an administrative language used in Australia. That's a fairly serious thing to do. There's a difference between that and the Department of Foreign Affairs waking up one morning and thinking, ooh, what a really good idea, let's have .Australia in Chinese. So I'm speaking in favour of maintaining the barriers, notwithstanding that the barriers can be overcome, should people choose to overcome them.
And I think I would agree.
Yeah.
So for my purposes, say people on this call agree that, say, the current criteria as listed on the decision to do not need to be altered.
Well, I think we can talk about, yes, I mean, I think we can put that out as a note to the list and say that people on this call seem to think the following things, yes.
And by the way, just to make my point very extremely clear, in Sweden, saying that something is official or something for administrative purposes are two different definitions.
Yes.
And for administrative purposes, Arabic language is definitely in, but it's not a minority or official language.
Yes. Now, in your case, Patrick, you actually have guidelines in place that exist, right?
That is correct, yes. There are
definitions, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so I think we do need to do a little bit more work on it, but I think we're clear about the principle. I just think, you know, we should probably do a bit more work on it. But Bart, you can do a note. You're going to do a note of this call, I assume, and send it out to the list, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Could I just make a comment, Gihan here?
Yeah, hang on. Gihan, there's you. Did somebody else want to say something before
Gihan
spoke? Yarp.
Yes, I was. And I just wanted to clarify that in the table of ISO 3166, actually, which talks about administrative language, actually this definition is used. I mean, it's not an official language, but it is considered by the experts or by the country itself as something administrative.
Thank you, Yao. Absolutely. Gihan.
Yeah, what I didn't hear right now is a distinction between language and script. I'm not sure if that was made earlier. I believe in many cases what's really important is that someone should be able to write the script that the IDN is in. If he doesn't understand the language it form doesn't really matter. He just needs to be able to type in the letters if he wants to get to a website. So I do see a huge difference between a particular language and a particular script, and I believe IDNs are basically based on scripts rather than languages.
Well, yes, but again, our definition currently is as per, and it's in the document, is as per RFC 5890, which is that an IDN country code top-level domain must contain at least one non-ASCII character.
Right. I agree with the definition, but what I'm trying to say is we were discussing that each country would have an X number of languages which are official.
Well, countries don't, have official scripts, though, Jan. They only have official languages. I'm not aware of a single country.
I believe
script.
Each language would have one or more official scripts in which you would be using that to write in that language.
So I
think we need to try to understand that although there may be large numbers of languages, typically the number of scripts would be less. So we should not try to just we need X number of... I do understand the current situation, but I'm looking at the policy going forward. I do believe that we need to distinguish between languages and scripts.
But in what context?
That's my view.
We're currently talking about... Hello?
Patrick is still here.
I don't know who that was, but whoever it is. It'll stop beeping in a minute. Maybe it was Christina. Ah, it stopped. Excellent. Gian, are you still there?
I think it was Gian.
It was.
Okay, this is Patrick. I think the most important thing for a document like this is that it is consistent. It should either talk about script or language. It is as soon as you start talk about both, which we just did, that is when things end up getting confusing.
Yeah.
Yes, there are certain languages which you write in two different scripts. Good examples are the ones in Eastern Europe, which you can write both in Cyrillic and Latin script.
Yeah.
So there are those languages. The important thing is that the requirements that we have say that the application should be in one of these things, and we have chosen language, which I think is correct. And then, given that, you have to pick, or the applicant have to pick, script and the actual code points in Unicode that are allowed and that will be used in the language table, etc., and also pick a certain number of code points which the TLD itself consists of. Because when you end up with the actual code points, then of course the script and language doesn't matter at all because it's just a series of Unicode code points. So I think it's correct to start with language and have that as the requirement.
Well, thank you, Patrick. I think we have to, don't we? Because otherwise we lose all of the ability to talk about, lists with meaningful representations in them, which are in languages, official languages, and all the other stuff that we talk about as criteria get lost if you simply say script, because I'm assuming that Sweden, as an example, has no regulations or legislation in place that talks about scripts, but does have stuff that talks about language.
That is correct. So the what script is in use is very often a secondary thing. What characters used in a language the country is often also a secondary thing. For example, in Sweden we use a different set of characters than what they use in Denmark. Okay, and that is tied to the language. So I think you're absolutely correct. And you get even more problematic when you talk about the HAN script. So I think start with the language and originate from language is the correct thing.
All right. I'm going to try and wind this call up now because it's been nearly an hour, and I don't want to move on to decision three because that'll be another longer discussion. Are there any last comments that anybody wants to make before we close the call? Okay, excellent. Bart, you'll send out a note to the list?
Yes, I'll update I'll include the notes on this one. What I'll do is say decision, include the notes regarding decision one and two, and say they are tentatively discussed for agreement next call.
Okay.
I hope everybody is aware of the next call, which will take place in 2 weeks.
Fantastic. Thank you, Bart. Thank you very much, everybody else. And speak again very soon. Thanks for coming.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.